Well, how are you?
You recovered from that day I took you on the run?
I certainly have. It was terribly sweet of you.
I am recovered from that 50. I told you not to put that 50 in there. And
no, you
went, yes, I did. I told you not to do it because it'd be 500. And it's, I've already got 300 or 400, and they all got in their mind 50 because you asked me how many agents there were, and I said 10 cabinet, 40 others, I guess, somewhere around 50, and I'm going to have one in each one. You said, well, you mean 50 jobs? And I said, no, don't you use 50. You put 500, and you were so excited you didn't put it in your notes.
Well,
I've already got 300 or 400.
Good God.
Yes,
well, I won't write that.
No. No, but we'll have them all. We'll have them all in here and get some of them sworn in when the ICC woman sworn in. And I'm looking for judges. I appointed the first woman judge in the country. That story never has been appointed.
Which one is that?
Sarah Hughes at Dallas, Texas. It sworn me in.
Oh, that's,
that's
right.
A beautiful feature. If you talk to Liz about it, Cindy Yarber and I recommended her.
Okay, I'll put her in too.
Say, this is no recent thing. We believe in women all along. What was it you wanted to know about a road or something?
Well, I was wondering.
You haven't got any birthday parties for children, sir?
No, I'm sorry.
I haven't been home to lunch yet, so you go on to...
Oh, you poor thing. Well, I want you to know I haven't had lunch because I've been doing a story on Mrs. George Reedy.
Well, she's a wonderful woman.
Isn't she?
I never saw a more faithful or dedicated one. And he's the best man, but... You all will give him a honeymoon about 2 days, and then you go to custom. That's where you do
on,
me.
Don't you talk to me.
I can't
way.
Pick
I
up. I can't pick up editorial pages out reading some of the stars. They used to be my best friend.
Oh.
I don't know what's happened. Have you all got a new policy over there?
As a matter of fact, I thought we were getting better on something, Mr. President. What I did want to ask you about the road.
What road?
Well, you know, you talked to me about that little section of the road that you helped build. And when I talked afterwards to Mrs. Johnson, she said that you never go past that section without saying, this is the road
I
built.
I worked in 3 counties on the road. I worked Gillespie, Blanco, and Hayes. And it was probably a stretch of 75 miles, and I had to walk over every bit of it at some time or other. And every stretch of it, I just left a few spots of blood and
golly.
Sweat on it.
Well, that when you go over it now, that's the road from Austin to
Fredericksburg. That's the road from Austin to Fredericksburg. We had those 3 counties.
And
our highway department this month got a big write-up about when I used to work on the road as a road hand. And the High State Highway Journal has got an article on it this week and showing me when I was a road hand.
Is that the one that Walter Jenkins was going to send me? He told me he was.
I don't know. I don't know what Walter Jenkins
well,
done,
I mean,
except
Walter told
I think
me
he's busy answering these star editorials on his relations with Don Reynolds. He bought an insurance policy from him, and they're about to electrocute Walter because he bought a policy.
Oh, Mr. President, I'm not writing those. You know
I know it. I know it, but I say I imagine that's what he's doing.
No, Walter told me he had something that you had said to send me. Look, what I hoped you would do, too, was tell me, you know, what I want to do is I was so fascinated with you telling me that your mother had pushed you out sort of from the highway job and said, this is all fine to do, but go get an education. I was hoping you could think of some other examples of when your mother had sort of given you a push.
Well, she pushed me, she put... pushed me into high school, made me take the college entrance exams when I didn't want to do it, and came down and stayed up all night with me working on plane geometry, and we didn't close our eyes until I had to go to the 8 o'clock class, and I just did make it.
Golly.
I mean, I just made passing grade.
Mm-hmm.
Passing grade was 70 or C or something, and that's what I made.
Golly.
She sat up all night long.
Well, that's a wonderful one, and that I didn't have before. Now, when she used to follow you down to the gate, that was earlier.
What was she teaching
you then?
Anything, maybe reviewing my speech with me and saying, please emphasize this word, or maybe going over a geometry problem, which always gave me trouble.
Mm.
Or maybe talking to me about, they'd probably ask this question, just kind of, I wish I had her now so that she could go over the questions that before have a press conference, it's likely to be asked, because she could always think of everyone as that the teacher might ask.
Mrs. Johnson told me that your mother always had a lot of books around the house, and that she
had the bed full of them, and she'd just stay up in bed and read all day and all night, and try to make everybody else read all day and all night.
Can you think
and
of that?
She read out loud to all of us all the time. Largely, she was a great Browning woman, a great Tennyson woman, and she liked biographies because all the children liked biographies. And it didn't make a difference whether it's about Jim Hogg or Jim Ferguson or Andrew Jackson, Abraham Lincoln, and all of them gather around, and she'd read them to all of them at the same time.
Can you think of anything that she had you read that particularly influenced you?
Oh, I guess all of them, beginning with the man that I really, the first president I really loved was Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I had great respect for Jefferson.
And just both of those?
Because he was believed in the land and agriculture and rural areas of America and so forth. And I loved Jackson because he was a guy that didn't let him tread on him.
Was she responsible for your reading then?
Oh yes, all of them, yeah. They're all done. And Wilson, I devoured him because everything he wrote or said, I memorized nearly because he was president during the time when I was 6 to 14.
Your mother, also, Mrs. Johnson told me, was a kind of a cultural influence in the community in the sense that she had a college education.
She was a top one on everything, every play, every song fest, every person. If you ever hear about her teaching, she was a public speaking teacher, and when she married, she taught me speech for the county meet, and I won my little school, and a little playmate that went to another school but lived across the road from me named Walter Peter.
Uh-huh.
And he was the son of a Lutheran minister, and he had quite a brogue. He spoke German, and most of their classes were German.
Uh-huh.
But he wanted to come from this Lutheran school to the county meet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt so sorry for him because you could hardly understand him. I got Mama to work on him every afternoon when I'd go to my speech from 4 to 5. She'd work on Walter from 5 to 6.
Oh.
And she took us to the meet, and we all rode in the same car, and damned if Walter didn't win the decision. And Mama just cried. She just, tears came out of her eyes. His little boy couldn't even speak English.
Oh.
But all the judges were the Germans.
Uh-huh.
And they liked that broke.
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, just think about my darling boy. And
yeah.
I went on. Walter didn't go to the district meet, and I went on and won the district meet. But every one of those damn Germans, they all voted for Walter because they liked the way he talked. He talked just like they did.
Sure.
But she'd worked on him for 2 months, and then he beat her own boy.
Golly. Mr. President, you tell me, and that was one of the things I did not write down because so much was happening so fast, about your mother saving money, and I think you said a little teapot. The point you were making at the time, you were saying that it was possible to be frugal and still be a liberal, that some of the liberals are just, they feel you have to spend a lot of money in order to be a liberal. And you said this wasn't true, that your mother always had money available for good causes when she wanted them because she was kind of frugal in the way she spent things, but then she saved it.
She never had very much money available, but she had a little jar. And she kept her money in the jar.
Yes, I couldn't remember whether it was a teapot. It was a little
kind
jar.
Kind of a porcelain jar.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote for news.